And I want you all to know that we are fighting the fake news.
And when I say fake news, I mean stories that are designed to trick people.
This is fake news.
So-called fake news can have real-world consequences.
Hi, my name is Mosinelli, and as you probably guessed it, today we're talking about fake news. And with me here is our producer, Priyanka Tilve. Today we're going to two villages in Kenya, where fake news recently turned the lives of people upside down.
It's called Tana River County. If you look at the map of Kenya, there's this town called Malindi. It's on the coast. That's where you fly in, and then you drive west about 2-3 hours. It's a pretty large county. There was this one incident that I thought summed up the whole experience. I was in Kapau. It's a village in Tana River that had been affected by a massacre in 2012. So while I was there, we went to look at a mass grave. And out of the corner of my eye, I saw this elderly lady kind of prowling towards us with this giant machete in her hand. She could barely wield the thing. And as she came towards us, one of the guys I was with went to talk to her. It turns out that she had been threatened by us just looking at the grave. She thought we were going to do something to it. And I thought that that really highlighted the depth of the trauma in this area.
But what made this woman so upset?
Well, it turns out that her husband was buried there. Actually, everyone in Kapau really knows someone who was killed or injured that day. It's a really small place. And I had talked to another woman as well named Aisha, who had been affected. She's in her mid-30s. Like most women in Kapau, she wears loose, conservative clothes, a black shawl over her head. Aisha's really soft-spoken, but confident, even when she was telling me about her traumatic day.
When we got out, we wanted to see what was happening. All of a sudden, we saw fire. It so happened they had come in and started killing. They set houses on fire. We heard gunfire. It was everywhere. So I went back to the house and got my brother's wife out of the top bunk bed. I had to carry her because she'd just given birth 3 days before. We took the kids and we left our father, and now he's passed away. He was in the bed and we couldn't take him.
After that, Aisha ran, and she found out that a lot of what she had thought was true about the situation turned out to be false. She also saw a lot of deaths. It was a very disturbing day for her. And that's just one story of many for people in Kapau. Another man I spoke to is Omar. He's in the same village. You can see the leadership qualities in him just from the way he stands. He's tall, he's proud. When I was talking to him and a bunch of villagers, all of them, including the chief, kept looking to Omar to speak. But when he speaks of the 2012 massacres, you can hear the pain in his voice.
We have seen by ourselves, eyewitness, people are being killed mercilessly. Women, children are being killed, elderly people. So it was not all that okay at that time. There's blood everywhere in Tana River, particularly in Tana Delta. So there's Riketa massacre, where 52 people died. Kilelengwani massacre, 39 people died. Kipao massacre, 31 people died. And 60 people have been now become disabled just because of that, what happened.
So all this came into play because of fake news?
Yeah, I mean, in Kenya, fake news is an issue that's been around for a lot longer than a year, and the stakes are a lot higher than bruised egos. In Kenya, misinformation and rumor mongering can be a matter of life and death. That was a really tough concept for me to understand, really. But Aisha explained to me how misinformation can wreak havoc in the area. Just this past August, there was a rumor near Kapau that a cattle herder had been killed, and Aisha told me what happened from there.
Wajue halafu watato.
We saw a young man who was calling people in Rene. He was actually trying to confirm that there were cattle that had been stolen. And he confirmed that a cattle herder was also killed. So I tried to settle the situation. I told the women not to run away with their kids or take any kind of action yet, that even if there is a dangerous situation, let's try to settle down first. As I was trying to settle the ladies down, someone came over to us and confirmed after a phone call that the whole thing was a rumor. So you see now how rumors contribute to the unrest.
This happened right after election season this year, so tensions were really high. Actually, this kind of rumor mongering always happens around elections. That's something John Otunga told me a lot about. He grew up in Nairobi, but he's been living in Tana River County for the past few years.
There are so many factors that lead to violence during election time, and one of them is the fact that the leaders might incite the communities. People take politics as a matter of just life and death. We either have the seat or we have it. We'll use all means, whether it is eliminating the other communities, just to get power. And so it's because of that kind of background that makes it very, very easy for anyone to use violence for political mileage. They can decide, let's wipe this community so that we get power, or let's do something to scare them away, and then we have our votes as a block. So such kind of things, I think, leads to instability during political times.
The reason he's in the area is because he is the coordinator of Una Hakika. That means, are you sure? And the organization is all about helping verify rumors and dispel them.
So the initiative is just as simple as I'll put it, where we established an SMS system that subscribers will, people subscribe in, and out of the subscription, they benefit from the messages we send. And this one has been an initiative that helps fight rumors, mostly incendiary rumors that can fuel conflict.
Aisha says it works.
Mana zamani after 5 years, kama election inakuja.
5 years ago, during the elections, there was fighting. And now, we sit and consult each other. And then, if there's some rumors that come from somewhere, we send them a message. They verify if it's true or not, and then they get back to us. And that made things better.
So just as a reminder, Aisha's from Kapao, but Priyanka also spoke to someone in a neighboring village.
Right, so I also spoke to Agnes Milka Obed. She's a community ambassador for Una Hakika in the neighboring village in Ngao.
Una Hakika has helped us in the case that something happens. It's opened our eyes and brains. Even the rumors have reduced. All that commotion has calmed down. We've seen that we've been helped a lot. Even the small children get to understand what's going on. So all of it is good.
It says a lot that Isha and Agnes agree on this, even though they're from two different villages.
And they come from rival tribes. Isha is Orma, they're herders, and Agnes is Pokomo, they're farmers. Much of the rumors and violence in the area is fueled by tension between those two lifestyles, kind of exacerbated by land and water scarcity. And on a more personal level, the attack that hit Isha's village in 2012 was actually carried out by people from Agnes's village. They live only 45 minutes apart by foot. For the longest time, that proximity perpetuated the trauma of what happened.
When I used to get asked about the fighting, I couldn't explain myself because I felt really bad inside. I used to feel like crying. I felt like it's a heavy burden for me to explain.
Una Hakika isn't only about dispelling rumors, but also about healing trauma. It's a hole Una Hakika is filling, which villagers say other NGOs left gaping.
Now that we've gone to peace seminars and sat with Una Hakika, we got to learn how to deal with disseminating information and living with the trauma. We are very thankful now that everybody is at peace and that there is peace and everyone is able to do their work.
Nowadays, we are constantly hearing about the war on fake news or the problems created by fake news. But when you think about it, in this area, there was a literal war over fake news. Fake news got people killed. This kind of puts things in perspective of how much damage misinformation can do. In Kapao and Ningao, all of these turmoil is spread through word of mouth. But in the more modern areas, like cities, it can spread much further and faster. All it takes is a WhatsApp message, retweet, like, share, or forward. That's it for this week. We'd love to hear from you. Email us at debrief@aljazeera.net. See you next week.